Blog Talk Radio.
Con los terroristas.
Guys, thank you all for tuning in today. We have a very special show today. Big interview with one of the founders of the Fire John Idzik campaign. First of all, it's a quick introduction. I'm your host, John, joined by my co-host, Nick, Brandon, and Jordan. Thank you guys for being on today.
What's going on, John?
Nothing much.
And we are truly honored to have Jared Kopel on the show today. He is one of the founders of the Fire John Idzik campaign. For those of you who do not know, John Idzik is the general manager of the struggling New York Jets. So we have a lot to talk about today. Jared, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, Jared.
All right, so to start off, just tell us a little bit about the Fire John Idzik movement. You know, how was it started? When was it started? Why was it started?
Right. Well, it started after the press conference. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you did listen to the press conference. It was a 19-minute ramble. He was just going on and on and really not holding the team accountable to anything they were doing wrong. If you guys remember, he said things like, we practice like a 6-2 team. He said, we have proven capable to sustain long scoring drives. A lot of the statements that he made were ridiculous, and it just made us all sick. And the four of us are big-time Jets fans. We've been we grew up together, and we all had a little conference together, and we decided that we wanted to do something about it. So, you know, and we put our opinions together and we decided that, you know, we wanted to focus our attention on removing John Idzik because, I mean, at the end of the day, he's responsible for bringing in the players. And we just don't feel like there's enough talent on the team. And that's the bottom line. So our mission became let's try to stir up the Jets fans to donate some money and we could express our opinions on a billboard. And that became a big story.
Okay, so with these billboards, where will they be placed?
Okay, the billboards, what we were able to do, our first goal was just to put up a billboard, but the support has been so great that we've been able to secure three. So we have two digital billboards right by MetLife Stadium that are going to go up, and then we have a third billboard that's going to be on Route 80, by the 17 exit, which is right near MetLife Stadium.
Okay, and what's been like the level of support that you've received from fans or media attention? Just tell us a little bit about that stuff.
It's been overwhelming. You know, I mean, obviously, like any movement, there's some people that are against it. There's some people that are for it. But we really have caught a lot of Jets fans' attention because there's a lot of people that feel the same way we do. Obviously. You know, we've gotten emails from people all over the country, really all over the world. There's been news stories all over the world, all over the country. You know, it's been a way that I think it could be because fans want to find a way to express their opinions. And people love what we're doing because it's an avenue for fans to be able to express their opinions.
And you guys could be trendsetters.
What was that?
You guys can certainly become trendsetters, like you were telling me the other day. because,
yes,
you know, other than this, I haven't heard anything, you know, fans trying to put up a billboard to fire somebody in the front office or whoever, or whatever like that. But, you know, I think it's great that fans, you know, you guys, you know, started our voice, you know, and that we have a voice now as fans. And what I love that really kind of, it does kind of make me more confident that Woody Johnson would fire John Idzik, because Woody Johnson is his top priority is not winning, but putting fans in the seat. And if he sees all these billboards up, sees that none of the fans want John Idzik back, there's a good chance he's going to say, I'm not going to put fans in the seats if John Idzik comes back. I think I should fire him.
Well, we hope so. You know, we hope so. We hope that you know, us having the guts to speak up and do this on our own, that, you know, that we spark public opinion and we spark people into action, you know, like the plane that flew over. I mean, we had nothing to do with that, but we definitely support it. We had nothing to do with that, but we do support it. And if, you know, our ideas helped, you know, or if our website helps someone else come up with the idea to do that, great. You know, we made a difference. You know, that's us, you know, one step closer to our goal.
And if I can just add two things really quickly. I think, first of all, as a Jets fan my entire life, I 100% support this movement to fire John Idzik, because the moment when I really lost faith in him, well, first of all, I didn't really think he was qualified to begin with. He's never been a general manager before, but I really did lose faith in him. I think week two of this season was essentially, we were 1-0, but the season was over because we had nobody in the backfield. We didn't do anything to replace the injured D. Milliner, our third-round pick, Dex McDougal. We were going with Darren Walls, who was a practice squad player last year, and a converted safety who, you know, Antonio Allen was actually a pretty good safety, so we took him away from his strength.
Yep.
And we had games like against Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford, Peyton Manning, Phil Rivers, Tom Brady. I mean, we had no chance in those games with that type of backfield. So, first of all, big mistake by John Idzik. By, you know, the defensive line and the linebackers can be, you know, amazing, but if you have no backfield, the Jets really didn't have any chance in those games. And second of all, well, I think removing John Idzik is definitely a step in the right direction. I think we need to look at the real problem here, which is Woody Johnson. Obviously, we can't do anything about that because he's the owner of the team. But as Nick said before, his primary goal is to make money, not win games. You know, he's trying to run this team, and he's the one who hired Idzik. So if you think about it, this is really all his fault. So I know we can't do anything about that. He's the owner of the team, but in my opinion, he's the real problem here.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I really think they should have kept Tannenbaum instead of bringing in Idzik, because Idzik
Nick
is without question worse than Tannenbaum.
Well, you guys, you have to realize that, you know, and here's one thing that we're trying to do. If you go to our website, which is firedjohnidzik.com, you'll see that we revamped it a little bit. And really, you know, let's think about this, okay? This isn't just John Idzik, all right? This is the Jets front office. And let's expand this a little bit. Let's talk about this for a sec, okay? There's a guy, I don't know how much you guys know about the front office because it doesn't get talked about a lot. But have you guys ever heard of a guy named Neil Glatt?
Yes, he's
yes,
the president.
Of course.
Neil Glatt is the president of the Jets since 2012. All right, now let's think about this for a second. Neil Glatt is responsible for, or has a lot to do with, the PSLs. Okay, he was also, you know, and I don't know how involved he was with this, but he has a lot, if you look in his past, he had a lot to do with planning and stadium design. And you think about the design of MetLife Stadium, and maybe, I don't know how much he was involved, but maybe his opinion came into play there, the mess of a parking lot that we have there still. But he's the Jets team planner and the Jets head of strategy. That's Neil Glatt. So we put him up on the site, too. Get rid of him, you know?
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Well,
okay,
well the thing is that it's not like he hasn't done a lot of great things. I mean, I may be against the grain here with this, but I do like MetLife Stadium. I do like some of the things he has done. But overall, his career resume so far since 2012 is enough to fire him. But
well, he's
not
a team planner.
Let's not necessarily trash him here.
All right, well, let's leave MetLife Stadium for a second, because that's like a little bit off, you know, getting off track there. But he is the team planner and the team head of strategy. Okay, he's the president of the team. So we want to include him as well. And I'm going to move on to another person, Terry Bradway. Okay, now Terry Bradway was the GM of the Jets 2001 to 2006. Okay, before Tannenbaum. But he is still with the team. You guys know his title? His title is Senior Personnel Executive.
I don't even know what that does.
He's involved with the draft. He's involved with the trades. He's involved. He's the guy who's whispering, you know, in Itzik's ear about flares. All right? So now, and he's been around, you know, through Tannenbaum and still there. So we really would like to see them clear house, get rid of those two guys as well. And if they're going to start over with trying to find, you know, good players. And you know, here's the other thing, just responding to what you guys were just saying. Let's think about what a GM does, what a general manager does. Number one, a general manager, you know, evaluates and he evaluates talent and also has to successfully recruit talent. But also has to judge character. And if you look at a lot of players that he's brought in, that even the ones that are talented, a lot of them, you know, the only reason why that they're on the team is because of their questionable character in the past, so we got them on the cheap.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
And then another thing is, the general manager has to handle the media, and the general manager is the leader of the team, has to hold the team accountable. Well, he can't handle the media, and when he gets in front of the media, he's not holding the team accountable. So, what does he do?
John Itzik is the worst with the media. He has to understand, like, hey, man, you're in New York. He doesn't even take responsibility for any wrong that he's done, any
exactly.
horrible mistake. And like I said, you're in New York, man. You're not in North Dakota.
We're Jets fans. Come on.
Yeah, you have to take responsibility. I can't stand how after one Jets loss, he would say, I'm not going to talk this game or next game. I'm going to talk in 2 weeks. You can't do that.
It's unbelievable.
You're pissed. It's like
it's unacceptable.
He's a part of destroying this franchise. And here's how I think of it. The guy burns my house down. He leaves Rex there. Basically, Itzik and Woody burn my house down. What do? They run away. And then say, yeah, I'm not going to pay you compensation or take any responsibility for burning down your house until another 2 weeks. Well, I'm sitting there with a burned down house and no explanation. That's kind of how I think about it. He basically burned down the Jets.
I mean, going back to Jared's point, I think one clear example you can bring up is Dimitri Patterson. I mean, he's the real only legitimate cornerback that Itzik brought in this year. He thought, oh, you know, the guy's been injured in the past, but hopefully he can stay healthy and hopefully, you know, he can return to the player that he's shown signs of being. But before he can even get injured, he disappears for, 48, 72 hours. And, you know, that pretty much cost him his job on the team. And it, you know, really made me question whether John Itzik even knows, you know, what the heck he's even doing. I think
exactly.
One thing that a lot of people point to is the, you know, the one good thing that Itzik did was back in 2013 when he drafted Sheldon Richardson in the first round. But, you know, if you think, I mean, Sheldon Richardson has been amazing for us. He was Defensive Rookie of the Year. But if you think about it, we had to give up Revis for that. What's the biggest weakness on this team right now? It's 100% our backfield.
Yeah, but then again, Jordan, your point is kind of invalid because we could have gotten Revis this offseason with the $21 million that we left
exactly.
on the table that we didn't spend. And Revis was coming off of an ACL injury. They had every right to trade him. He didn't sound like he wanted to be in New York anymore. And that was a good trade for both sides, except for, you know, the fact that Revis kind of sucked in Tampa Bay.
And Revis,
but we
could
have gotten a better deal. And
Revis said that
Revis
was willing to go back to the Jets. Itzik
exactly.
didn't want
right.
anything to do with it. I mean,
because the New York Jets didn't get a phone call from Revis's agent or the other way around, that's the reason why he signed with the Patriots out of spite for the New York Jets
exactly.
not wanting him on their team.
Exactly.
It's because Itzik didn't want to spend $10 to $12 million. Well, you look, coming into the season, they were $21 million under the cap. I mean, you got to spend that money somewhere.
We could have spent that money on Terrell Revis. We could have spent that money on Roger Cromartie. We could have spent that money on DeSean Jackson for all we know.
Antonio Cromartie. They could have re-signed. You got to understand, they're $21 million under the cap. There are so many holes on this roster that need to be filled. And what does he do? He brings in a bunch of cheap, mediocre receivers like Jacoby Ford. And Jacoby Ford, he brought in Eric Decker, which was good. And,
Eric
Decker
is the only good signing.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though.
And then he gets into the thing with the fans.
He stacked up on wide receivers just to kind of keep the fans quiet. But what's stacking up on receivers going to do if none of them are good? You're going to have all the receivers you want. But if they're not going to be good, what does that do?
Well, I actually think our wide receiving core, as it stands right now, is actually quite good between Eric Decker, Percy Harvin, and Jeremy Curley. I think that
Percy Harvin's not going to come back, and this season's done. Percy Harvin, he's not coming back. Because, like, you know, they're not going to pay him $10 million next year. You think they're going to pay him $10 million next year?
You never know. Eight-Stick's not going to be the one in the front office, so you never know who's going to be the GM and who's going to make that contract. You don't know.
I just want to say one thing, guys. I want to bring it back to Terry Bradway because, again, you know, we have, basically a rookie GM, and I don't even know if other GMs have a senior personnel executive, you know, on their team. You know, I don't even know if that even exists on other teams, but we do. And his name's Terry Bradway, and he's the guy who's the personnel guy that's telling him what to do. And why is he – let me ask you a question. I don't know if you guys are season ticket holders or have a 2014 Jets yearbook.
I am not.
Why isn't Terry Bradway in the yearbook? He's the senior personnel executive. They don't even have him in the yearbook. I wonder why.
Well, here's a possibility. Here's one possibility that I don't know you guys might consider. I'm almost thinking John Idzik does not know at all what he's doing, and he's kind of taking like directions and orders from Woody Johnson, Neil Glatt, and Terry Bradway on who to draft. And he's just kind of like a yes man, and it's just kind of like a figurehead who doesn't doesn't know talent. And that's, exactly. He's an accountant. He's an intelligent guy. Just doesn't know football. And, you know, that is one big possibility. Another theory that is possible is that
he's a liaison between Rex and them.
Yeah, another possibility that people I've really led not to believe is that John Idzik purposely or kind of sort of purposely, you know, kind of destroyed the team to get Rex fired so he could bring in his own guy, which I don't quite believe.
Nick,
because
I can't buy that.
Not that I believe it, but there are certain signs that would lead you to believe it. I mean, at the end of the day, the guy who wanted to bring back Rex last year was Woody Johnson, not John Idzik. When a new GM is hired, usually the first thing that he does is find his own coach. I mean, John Idzik never got the opportunity to do that. And if you think about it, you know, maybe he did just $21 million under the cap. He could have spent that money on other players. He didn't. Maybe to, you know, tank the season and then have Rex fired. I personally don't believe it, but I could see why people do. I actually brought that up on the show, I think, after the loss to Chicago on Monday
night.
Right.
Totally agree with you.
All right, I just want to let all of our listeners know that the phone lines will be open for the next about 3-4 minutes. So if you guys want to call in with any questions, any comments you want to make, the number to call in is 347-884-8496. The lines will only be open for about 3 minutes, so get your calls in quickly. But, yeah, Jordan, you can go back to what you're saying.
Well, if I could say something, you know, I just want to let you guys know, you know, there's been some people that have had arguments against us. And, you know, one thing that we're actually doing, and we're selling T-shirts right now. If you go to our website, you can hit the link and you can get the Fire Dynastic T-shirt. We've raised over $1,000 to benefit the Children's Hospitals in Cincinnati and Philadelphia for pediatric cancer and also and research. And it's all to support Leah Still.
Yeah.
You know, you guys know the story of Leah Still?
Of course, yeah. I'm a huge Penn State fan. I definitely played there, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we're donating a percentage of our shirt proceeds to that, and it's been, you know, it's a really good cause. And if you haven't, if you don't know about it, you can actually go on our website. You can click on the link actually to see the movie about the Devin and Leah Still story, which is, you know, it is a touching story. So we really wanted to make sure that we were, you know, donating to a good cause along with this, you know.
Yeah, and I'm looking at your website right now. Yeah, I'm looking at your website right now. First of all, what you're doing with that is obviously it's incredible. But I'm looking at just the format of your website, and I just want to say that you guys really did a great job with this. It looks like it looks so official. It looks like it could be the New York Jets official team website. The font is the same, the colors are the same, the backgrounds are the same. So just shout out to you guys for doing that.
Yeah, well, my brother is a graphic designer, BlueJayPrinting.com. You know, he does graphic design, you know, that's what he does. He's not a web designer, but he's the one that threw it together. And believe it or not, guys, the Jets cheaped out so bad that font that you see is just a font that they, you know, it's a regular font. They don't even have a proprietary font.
Wow, yeah, well, no, just the form, it just looks very official, and I think what you guys are doing is great, but let me just play
devil's
advocate.
Thank you, I'm sure my brother appreciates it.
Yeah, let me just play devil's advocate quickly for a second. Now, there's some people out there, and I'm kind of uncertain on this, you know, I'm not a big Jets fan, I'm an outsider looking in, but, you know, people will say John Idzik's very... very new to the Jets. Like, he hasn't had time to do anything. What do you have to say in response to that?
Well, he's had 2 years, and look at the talent that he's brought in. You know, I mean, it's just from when he came here to where we're at now, it's just look at the record. This is the NFL. It's not a place to for a trial run. We're not like bringing in someone to learn on the job. This is the New York Jets. We bring in the best GMs to work in New York. That's what I say.
Yeah. And when four draft picks are currently on the roster, you know the guy did a bad job.
Yeah, that's a big thing. And here's the other thing. A lot of people come down and say, oh, how can you go after a man's job? This is wrong. Oh, it's so wrong. You can't go after a man's job. And I understand what the point they're trying to make. These guys are making millions of dollars. A GM for a team, you know, I mean, it's like, you become a GM in the NFL, you're going to be fired one day. That's the first thing. Second thing, the dude is under contract, okay? If he gets fired, he gets all the money that's coming to him, okay? This is not a regular job. He doesn't work at the CBS, all right?
It's almost like he's not getting fired.
Okay, he gets a vacation.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of, you know, one thing I thought about is if you look at, especially this past offseason when, the only big thing that we did was bring in Eric Decker. You know, I'm just looking at this from a practical standpoint. I mean, when John Idzik brings in players for, you know, tryouts or interviews or, you know, whatever the process is, you know, who doesn't want to play in New York? I mean, it's one of the biggest media. It's one of the biggest markets, you know, New York City right there with the Giants. And when you're looking at, you know, teams like I can't think of it off the top of my head, but teams that have improved drastically from last season, you know, what better, you know, I can't really think of, you know, New York's got to be in the top 5-10, you know, areas to play in the whole league. That's definitely on John Idzik for not selling his market, for not convincing players to play in this big New York, you know, there's a lot of media pressure that goes with it, but it's definitely one of the hottest places to play in all of sports.
If you're a recruiter, you can sell that, man. You know what? That's the best thing you could ever sell.
Right. Exactly. You can't change your location. Yeah.
All right. Look, I've been fairly quiet because I have a little bit of something to say here. Tomorrow at 1:00, I will be going to watch a miserable team play a team that could not be any more on fire right now, and I'm going to watch them lose again, and I'm going to watch every game going forward, and they'll probably lose every single one of them. Because in my opinion, they are the second worst team in the NFL, and the only team that's worse than them, we beat them in the first week of the season.
Barely.
It is absolutely miserable to be a New York Jets fan right now, and I really hate to say it, but everyone under Woody Johnson, because we can't get rid of him at all, but everyone else under him needs to go, whether it be John Idzik or Neil Glatt or anyone else in that front
Terry
office.
Terry Bradway
absolutely has. He's a huge part of this.
Coordinator, the defensive coordinator,
Rex
everyone
Ryan.
Needs to go. Geno Smith needs to be released. Michael Vick needs to get traded somewhere else where he can be a big factor. Because I can't stand him on this team. And yes,
and Brandon,
I truly hate to say this because I think he is one of the best head coaches in the NFL right now. But Rex Ryan needs to part ways as well. Unfortunately, we need a new head coach. We need a new everything on this team. This entire team has been such an abysmal train wreck, wrapped in garbage and thrown into a dumpster for the past 50 years. Since 1969, we have been nothing but the laughingstock of the NFL,
and it's sad. And there needs to be a total turnaround in the attitude of this team. I don't care what it takes. If we have to bring in Nike to Nike-fy our look and create a whole new identity for us, perfect. Let's do that. If we have to bring in a new head coach, let's do that. We have to draft another starting quarterback. Let's do that. I don't care what it takes. This team needs to be turned around on a 180-degree angle, and we need to start fresh.
And, Brandon, Brandon, I have to disagree with you here. I think you were very hesitant to say Rex Ryan needs to go, and you even said he's one of the best head coaches in the NFL. I have to completely disagree with that. I think I respect Rex Ryan a lot. He did great things in the first 2 years. But the only good thing that he's doing is getting his defense, you know, motivated, getting them ready to play. Personally, I don't even like his defensive calling anymore. With, you know, he used to be amazing at those third down blitzes and getting to the quarterback.
Exactly.
That's the only thing he's really good for. I think, you know, I appreciate what he's done in the past 6 years, but personally, I think it's time for, you know, a new, you know, just a change of scenery for him. I think he, you know, I could wish him the best wherever he goes. I think he's still a decent head coach, but definitely need to change of scenery. And with your second point going on, you know, we talked about this the other day with the rebranding or whatever you're talking about with the alternate jerseys. That's completely garbage. The Jets need to focus on getting a team on the They need to focus on getting a team on the field that can actually compete in these games rather than focusing on getting new jerseys or, you know, that's just ridiculous.
Think about it. We did that in the 80s, guys.
That's just a side piece to the entire.
We did that in the 80s, and we were the same Jets, guys. It didn't matter if we wore new uniforms.
Exactly.
We need to get
rid of these same old Jets memes and all of these public humiliations that we continue to call.
I have a quick hypothetical for Jared. Very hypothetical situation, but, you know, let's say this offseason the Jets fire John Idzik and they hire you as the general manager. What would you do this offseason to improve this Jets roster?
Well, you know, I'm in another field, but if I was the person that was the general manager, you know, here's where the Jets miss it. And I'll tell you, you know, in my opinion, They don't understand that you need to build a quality organization on attitudes. It's about the character of the people. That's why the Patriots win every year. They don't bring in superstars. They don't necessarily spend a lot of money on the free agents. They bring people in that will come into their system, that have a good attitude. They're all yes, sir, and they fall in line, and they make a team. That's what a team is. Everybody does their role. The Jets, we wait till the last minute, then we sign somebody with talent because of the pressure, and it's someone who has, you know, a character issue, you know, and that's the way it's been for years. It's not my thing to call out players, but, you know, if you look at the way we got Percy Harvin, look at the way we got Michael Vick, it's really similar, you know, and those kinds of players, I'm sorry, like, you can't build an organization like that. You can score a touchdown, maybe. And you can appease fans and score a touchdown, you know, but you can't. And so that's what they need to think about. They need to bring in quality people that will evaluate and build on people that have character and bring in people on the team that have character, you know, and that's really, and including the general manager. And when you bring in a general manager as character, then they know this. Okay.
Can I just say something about the Percy Harvin trade?
Quickly, because we only have 30 seconds.
As much as I like that trade, it was totally under the table. John Idzik knows John Schneider. John Schneider said the team doesn't want him anymore. It said, hey, man, I think we could trade him to you. And because nobody even knew about it. And, like, it's kind of hard to praise them for that.
And
I agree.
What's the point in bringing in wide receiver talent if you don't have a quarterback that can get them the ball? Unless you have a quality quarterback, you can't compete in the
game. I agree, guys. If he had talent, what's the reason why we got him? We got him because of the character question. Okay? That's my point.
Exactly. Hey, look, one thing before the show ends. Everybody needs to go. Woody Johnson needs to get rid of everybody involved in that front office, including Rex Ryan. He needs to say to himself, you know what? This is how I'm going to make money for two reasons. Mm-hmm. One, you got to lower the PSL because it's absolutely nonsense. And two, You got to start winning games. Because if you win enough games and you have talent and you have attitude and you have all of these players with character and a desire to win that don't have these issues and problems, you will make money. And you will have fans who want to enjoy themselves and watch a quality football team. Woody Johnson,
all right,
you better be listening.
And on that note, we have to wrap up the show. It was a great interview. Jared, thank you so much for being on. Best of luck with your endeavors.
Oh, thank you for having me on, guys.
Yeah,
it was
man,
a ton
absolutely.
Of fun.
Thank
you.
A pleasure. Jared. I'm going to go and buy a T-shirt right now, actually.
And I'll be donating
awesome.
More money to your cause.
That we appreciate
you know, maybe,
it, guys.
Maybe you guys should expand it to Terry Bradway and Neil Glatt and all that to raise more awareness about the front office.
Yeah, well, yeah. Who knows? But if you look on our website, there's pictures of them, and you know, I don't want to give it away if you haven't seen it, but there are pictures of them looking exactly
very
how
good.
They act.
Very good, very good. All right. So thank you all to all of our listeners. Thank you, Jared, for being on the show. We will be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, thanks for listening.